This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi. Across from me sits John, and to my right is Travis. And today we're going to be talking about a Christmas holiday that is a preparation for Christmas, and it's called Advent. It's actually not a Christmas holiday, but we're in Advent season, which happens 4 Sundays before Christmas, and so we're excited about that. And really, it is Advent means arrival, and so we're celebrating that Jesus did arrive 2,000 years ago, the awaited Messiah, the anointed one, the one that the Jews were looking for. And we're excited about that the Savior of the world was born in Bethlehem. And so we're excited about that, and we're celebrating that. But it's also another chunk of Advent is the waiting. The scriptures say that Jesus is coming again. And so there is this anticipation, this waiting, this excited that he is coming again. And so that is what we're going to be talking about today. And so what are your guys' kind of thoughts on Advent? You know, did you practice it growing up? You know, where are you at with that?
Yeah, we didn't really do it in my family growing up. I mean, which I'm surprised. We have, like, my family has a Catholic background before they started relationships with Jesus, but we didn't really do any of that kind of stuff, you know. And that's not to say that Catholics don't have a relationship with Jesus. Sorry, that's not what I meant there. But they grew up with that background, and we never really did it. I'm a what they call an AFOL, which is an adult fan of Lego. It's an official term out there.
Is it a club? The more
you know. Say that word again. I heard something else when you said that.
AFOL.
And I was agreeing with that too, just so you know.
Yeah. So adult fan of Lego is what that stands for. And so I've been a pretty big fan of getting Lego Advent calendars, which is the least spiritual Advent thing I've ever been a part of. But there's something about the countdown of days and things like that, you know. And though we didn't have a formal thing like that as a kid, we did have countdown things that were about raising the anticipation level. You know, we're getting ready for this day, and so it's looking forward to that arrival and the celebration of that arrival.
I saw 2 Advent calendars in Costco. One was a German beer one, and so you got a beer every day, different German beer, and the other one was a wine one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we did as kids for our... No, I'm just
the wine,
kidding.
You're from Wisconsin, so...
The cheese.
You know what
of
I
Advent?
Remember? We did. I mean, our church did Advent, so we had the 4 candles and then the Christ candle in the middle. So that was something that we did at church. But with our family, do you remember the Santa Claus Cokes? And I think they still do that. They have Santa Claus on the Coke bottle. So you used to get a little calendar with Santa Claus and then his beard and the countdown to Christmas. Totally not like
something.
Advent.
This is from Coke. Like
this
from
was from
Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola. Yep. And so then each day you got to put a little cotton ball on Santa's beard, and then you got to count down the remainder of the days till you got to celebrate Christmas.
Did you get a Coke every day?
You know,
that sounds like a
I
great
probably
marketing
wanted
idea.
One, but yeah, that was against the rules at my house. I had to go to my buddy's house who had the Coke.
We were a Pepsi family growing up, and they did not have their marketing down.
It's like saying like RC Cola. That's ridiculous. Anyway. Yeah, I think it's really interesting, this whole thing of the tradition of it. The part of the problem with Christmas and being preachers of the good news of Jesus is that the story, everyone knows this one. There's not like some hidden gems in there. And, you know, you have, you know, Mary, who's a young lady. You have Joseph, and she's pledged to be married to him, and she becomes conceives of the Holy Spirit. And you have all this. You have the manger scene. You have the crazy shepherds and competent angels coming to tell them this stuff. And you have all of these things, and it becomes very routine to us. And so one of the things that we did this year, and so our whole church is practicing Advent, is we went to Matthew chapter 1. Mm-hmm. And Matthew chapter 1, I think most people, if you're a reader of the scripture, probably skip over this because it goes, Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac was the father of Jacob, Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers, and then it keeps going. And you kind of go, who cares, right? but we took that because it is actually, it's kind of like Jesus's ancestry.com. Like, you know, he had to spit in a cup and to get that passage of scripture and send it away for the DNA testing. And so if you read that, it's really where the lineage of Jesus came from. And it's really fascinating some of the people that he has in his lineage. Like he has, I think there's 42 dudes in there, and if I'm not mistaken, and there's four women, which is totally not, Matthew, just so everyone knows, is written to a Jewish audience. And so a Jewish audience, they were trying to prove or trying to talk to them about like Jesus's pedigree. This is where he came from, because Jesus had to come from the line of David, and he had to come from he's the line of Judah. And so there are certain things that he had to fulfill for that to be true. And so that's what he's trying to do, is trying to help them to understand. But he adds these women, which is totally not typical of their time. To nobody cared about women at that time. Yep. They were property,
especially in a lineage.
And everyone in the lineage, what they would do is they would take other people out of it. Like, so if you had like a crazy relative, you never talked about the crazy relative.
Yeah.
But in Jesus's, he has like, there's like scandalous women in there, like women of ill repute. You have a prostitute in there. You have Tamar, who is like this conniving lady that really bad things happen to her. And so it is just this fascinating story of where Jesus came from. And so we're taking that and reading through all of those stories and kind of unpacking them to really understand where Jesus came from, and kind of in preparation for the celebration of his arrival. You know, one of the things that I think is just fascinating about all of our history is we all have crazy people in our history, don't we? I don't know about you guys, but one of my dad's cousins, his name is Ralphie, I think, which is awesome. And or maybe it's Ronnie. Maybe it's Ronnie. It would have been better if it was Ralphie. But he traced us all the way back to the time where we were in England. And all the way, we're Madisons with an E, and so we're not Finnish, and so we're English, and he traced us back to the upper New York area. We're farmers, and then we moved to the Midwest, and so there's this story, though, that he told me about one of our relatives who was a lawyer, and he hated Abraham Lincoln. He hated Abraham Lincoln, and I'm like, us Madisons are of noble character, so there must be some dirt on Abraham Lincoln. I'd love to have lunch with him, right? Uh-huh. And like, if you look at the lineage of Jesus, there are so many people that are you get to in the scriptures. If you just take those, you get to have almost lunch with them, and they get to tell you their story of how God used them in a really incredible way to be a part of the lineage of Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite things about this lineage, and you're hitting on it already, but just the fact that some of these people, men and women, get included in this thing, there's an aspect of it where it's a little bit of a foreshadowing of what Jesus was coming to do, which, you know, before Jesus came, in order to be, you know, a part of God's family or a part of, you know, God's people, you had to be born into it. Right? It was for the Jewish people, for the Israelites. And you see, even in Jesus's lineage, there's some people who you go, wait, that doesn't fit that, you know, criteria either. You see God.
Yeah, they're ethnically not Jews.
Yeah, in the Old Testament, there's these few examples where somebody kind of slips in and gets to be considered a part of God's people, even though they weren't born into it. And so, you know, it's when I read this, I go, oh, This is showing what we see later in Jesus's ministry, which is that he came to save all people, came to change the requirement to be a part of God's people.
Yeah, one of those people were a lady by the name of Rahab. Mm-hmm. She was a prostitute, and she was a Canaanite, which is, if you know the biblical narrative, the story, the Canaanites were always like the arch nemesis of the Israelites. They're always warring against them some time or some place in there. The Canaanites came from the line of Noah through the son Ham, and there's this weird story in Genesis about something happens and they see Noah and they see him and he's not decent at the time, and somehow they get cursed. And so the Canaanites come out of that and they're cursed. And so you have the Canaanites and they're fighting against God's people who are the Israelites. Well, she is living in a town called Jericho, which is and if you went to Sunday school, you probably heard about that, or maybe you watched Veggie Tales, you heard about the town of Jericho. It had fortified walls. They're 13 feet high, 28 foot towers. They're super thick, so thick that her house was actually in the wall. So you can imagine how thick this is. Mm-hmm. And the story happens where these two spies come into town. They're Israelites and they're coming, and she houses them. Part of it is because I think men were going in and out of there all the time there, so there's no suspicion. So that was kind of a wise plan on their part. Yep. The Old Testament's crazy. It's conniving and crazy, right? But anyway, what happens is basically she says, I know you're coming. I know your God is he's the real God, basically, is what she says. He's the God of heaven and earth, above and below. And she puts her faith in the Israelite God. And they say, okay, well, you can live. We're going to destroy this city because God told us we're going to take this city. But you have to put this like scarlet cord out and nothing will happen. Which is so fascinating is they come and they don't like charge the town or, you know, jump over the wall. They march around it for 6 days. And then seventh day, they march around it seventh time, blow some trumpets and the walls fall down. Except for her house where her and her family are. That's how she gets in. By faith, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31 talks about her, and that's that big
the hall of faith.
Hall of faith. Yeah, yeah. It's all these people who believed and they held to God's promises, and she makes it in, and she's a prostitute in the line of Jesus. She's in Matthew, and I think she's mentioned in James also.
Yeah.
But just a fascinating story of Jesus' lineage, that he came from this woman that was had probably a ton of pain, a ton of hurt, mm-hmm. and God healed her out of that. She marries a guy by the name of, I love this, Salmon. he was farm raised, and they have a son. His name is Boaz, and then there's this whole book called Ruth. Boaz is the kinsman redeemer, and who Jesus is for us, type mm-hmm, of a thing. Mm-hmm. And so really fascinating, really, really interconnected. And so there's all these beautiful stories in this genealogy.
Well, and you know, backing up a little bit, you talked about the scarlet, what was it, fabric or cord that she put out, you know, and we talk about this scarlet thread that runs throughout the whole Bible, mm-hmm. where, you know, that is it just ties in so amazingly with the story of Jesus, the work that God was doing before that. I mean,
it's how they get out of the scarlet is how they get out of Egypt. Right.
Right. Right.
They put blood over their door frame.
Yep. Yep. So, and then you fast forward to Jesus, and we would say we are saved by the blood of Jesus. We are made clean by the blood of Jesus. We're redeemed by the blood. You know, so I tell people all the time, you know, when you start to dig into scripture and look at it as a whole, it's an amazing collection of books, the way that it fits together.
Yeah. Written over thousands of years, right?
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, the lineage part that's most fascinating to me, and we're hitting on this, is like you have the heroes of the Bible in Jesus' lineage. You've got the sketchy characters and you've got the normal people. So you have mm-hmm. the whole gamut of humanity covered within that. And yet God still chose to work his salvation plan through that. And it just reiterates to me, God gets us. Like we've got our own family trees with messed up things. I think I've got some bootleggers in my family history because we've got some Tennessee ties from my mom's side. Yeah, it makes sense now. But like we all have messy family pasts, either, you know, way back when, or even if we're struggling with some of that stuff right now, doesn't mean that God still is not going to work in you and through you. Yeah. It does not mean that you cannot leave. We've talked about leaving a legacy of faith for our children. Like, we have this invitation into God's story when we come to faith through what his son's done.
Yeah. I think the other thing, what you're talking about is so true, is like those, that genealogy is, it was for the Jewish people. But when you start to look at those people in Matthew chapter one, you start to see, you start to go, how big is God's grace? Mm-hmm. You start to go, whoa, this thing's, this is huge.
Yeah.
And it's not just like Abraham, Isaac, you know, it's not just the, it's just this crazy story of grace in these people's lives. And you start to unpack it. It's just, it gives you hope. It doesn't matter where you, you know, where you've gone, what you've done, what's been done to you. God's grace, as you look at these characters, is big enough for them, so it has to be big enough for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're talking about the power of God's redemption and transformation. You know, we sing this song here at Evangel called Graves into Gardens. It's becoming one of my favorites, and we're smiling around this room right now because we have a guy in our congregation who hates that song. Loves most other songs. Anyway, but
we
this
love him, though. We do. We absolutely give you a shout out.
That's
today.
Right. But the, you know, the song aside, there's truth in this song that is reflected of what we're talking about here. That the God of the Bible is a God who takes broken things, takes dead things, and makes them new, makes them alive. And Jesus's genealogy here is another example of that. As we look through this list, you know, one of the big ones that that pops out to me is King David, right? I mean, that's a key part of this. King David, you go back and look at that story. There's some not good. I mean, to say not good things in the story is an understatement. I mean, he arranges the murder of the husband of a woman that he wants for himself. I mean, this is bad, bad, bad stuff.
Who he had already committed adultery.
Oh yeah. I mean, it was a cover up. It was, let's try to make this go away. So, you know, you've got people like that in this story, and that's just one example. And yet God uses their family. God, you know, often you look through these lists, God brings them back, into right relationship with him. I mean, it's a really maybe the most important thing when I look at scripture of how God works is he's a God who restores. He's a God who fixes. You go from the cover to cover, you know, in Genesis, you've got the fall where sin enters into the story, and the whole thing from Genesis to Revelation is it's the story of how God is going to restore and repair and renew. And, you know,
and he does it through the person of Jesus. You know, yeah. Jesus is called a friend of sinners.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus, he didn't come to call those who were pious and righteous and have it all down. He didn't come to call the religious. He came to call the sinners who were willing to repent and place their faith in him. And, you know, I think it's in Luke, maybe chapter 19, it says the Son of Man, referring to Jesus, has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Mm-hmm. And we're all lost without God. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. And that's why it says in the Christmas narrative, unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior. Mm-hmm. And we needed a Savior. We needed rescue.
And God knew what he was doing. We look at the genealogy and the lineage. Like, if it would have been these perfect, righteous people, it points again, like, I'm not going to live up to that. I'm not worthy. But yet God includes these imperfect people, these people of ill reputation, some good people in there. But they made mistakes too, and they're all sinners. And yet Jesus comes from that line to save all people. It's not just a gift that's, you know, available to, if you measure up, if you hit this bar, then you're good enough. No, like we said, Jesus came to seek and save the lost, and he gave his life up for everybody. It's a free gift offered. God's hand is open. We have the opportunity to take it.
Yep. It's just placing your faith just like Rahab did, and believing and trusting in him. You know, one of the most incredible things about Christmas, I think, is in the Advent season, it is just that reminder of how good, how gracious, how loving our God is, that he totally he chose to do this. He chose to come and get us. Mm-hmm. He chose to recognize our state and to do this. You know, we're going to be celebrating this for the next, I don't know how many, what, 4 weeks, and then we have two Christmas Eve services, and then we'll be online on Christmas Day. But if you don't have a place to go, and you want to just come and you want to hear some stories of the scripture, really the genealogy and some of the Christmas story, we're doing a series called
Joy Around the World.
No, that's not what our...
That's our Christmas one.
No, that's our Christmas Day one, yeah.
Christmas Day, yeah.
But our actual series is called Christmas, Crazy Christmas Characters.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're all crazy and...
a little bit.
And we're all characters that God has said yes to because we've placed our faith into Him, and now we're called sons of Him. Mm-hmm. And so we want to just invite you, come on out, you'll have a good time, and I will give you a heads up that... we will do this all throughout. Travis is going to be preaching on one of the weeks, and we're going to have a kids thing going on. And so there's always kids ministry, always college ministry stuff. And so come on out, hang out with us. We'd love to have you 9:30 and 11. And that's good news you can use.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with us, guys. We appreciate you listeners out there. If you have any ideas for topics for us that you'd like to hear us cover, we'd love to hear from you. You can shoot those over to travis@evangelup.org. If you want to catch up on any of our previous podcasts, episodes of Pearls and Swine, just search out Evangel Houghton on your device there and you'll find us. Or you can always check out our website, evangelup.org.